If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Let your imagination lay down and take a rest. I'll do my best to do the rest. You can only see the world but once or twice a week, when angels and alibis are stepping on your feet. So let's make for the country, let's head for the coast. The boldness of bold fools is the road I travel most. Lately I've been living crazy, stammered, stoned, or just plain lazy. Lady, maybe someday playing straight, but let's just wait. There's a great and unsung army, flying green with a hummingbird, fighting for existence with the flight of every word. Now, dreamers don't need deadlines, don't need jet airlines to fly, when angels and alibis are walking by their side. So let's make for the country, let's head for the coast. Boldness of bold fools is the road I travel most. Lately I've been living crazy, stammered, stoned, or just plain lazy. Lady, maybe someday we'll play it straight, but let's just wait. Let your imagination lay down and take a rest. I'll do my best to do the rest. Lately I've been living crazy, stammered, stoned, or just plain lazy. Lady, maybe someday. Lady, maybe someday. Lady, maybe someday, but let's just wait.
You've been listening to Angels and Alibis, the title track from Reed Genauer's latest record, well, of the same name. Reed has actually decided to release this album as part of a Patreon campaign. While Reed has dabbled in other crowdsourced campaigns, it's the first time he's actually used a Patreon platform. So he sat down with this talented musician and expert marketer to learn more about the project and why he decided to involve his fans in this unique campaign.
There are a couple, several things. One is my observation. It's funny. My dad asked me, I was telling him I was making a record, and he was like, why? And I thought about it. Well, my initial response was, Dad, you know, why do lemmings jump off cliffs, right? And why do caribou migrate? That's what I do. But then I thought about it, and that is probably, it's hard to separate. That's some large percentage. Let's call it 65%, 60%. And then part of it is the way that it's set up is you need a new record. Records in part were designed as false events, almost like, when every year when iPhone releases all their new features, it's like, here's a reason to think about this. And so what my observation has been on that front is you spend all this time writing the material, recording it, making it just so for what, like a single day. And it feels unjust on both sides, or just not unjust, but doesn't do either side, justice, right? Because you don't have a chance to really mingle with it. And particularly in these digital days when you don't have liner notes, you're not sitting with it, studying it. So that's one. Two is, I've done two other crowdsourced records through Kickstarter. And I initially, the first one I did really begrudgingly, I was kind of like, I don't know how else I'm going to fund this thing. And I found once I got over my own sort of insecurity and the stigma of feeling like you're begging, that it actually unleashed something that was really, really cool. And it's at the center. So Sunshot was the first one I did, and then Conspire to Smile. But the observation came from Sunshot, which is it unlocked this really intimate exchange. And what it forces, what you're selling ultimately is, it's a crass way of saying it, but what you're offering, it's not even selling, is an intimate exchange and an ongoing one. And, there are different facets to that, but sort of like the Grateful Dead always said, once we're done with the music, it's yours. Well, how do you make people, how do you actually, actualize that? And I find that crowdsourced campaigns do it, and they force you, the artist, to be vulnerable and engaged and committed. And then it forces the people who participate to do the same. And then you collectively become the fiber of something larger. And so while it has a certain stigma, it's really not about the transaction, although that's a component, right? Because there is a need for cash, but really it's about the relationship. And then as far as the cash is concerned, who better to ask than the people who really relate to what you do. And so rather than going broad, it precludes you from growing broad. In fact, I gave Sunshot away once it was funded, like for free, right? But it's about going deep first and then broad. And if you think about major labels, I'm not sure they ever go deep, but they're just all about broad, right?
Yeah.
So those were the reasons, and I find it really compelling. And then, I don't know. I we've discussed this before. I do a lot of stuff, and this one of the ways that I force myself to do certain things is by committing, right? Like I talk to people who want to be musicians, and I'm like, "Have you booked a live gig?" "No." "Well, do it, and you'll be a musician."
Yeah. Well, it is absolutely an interesting way of doing it. And I think Patreon's a little different in that you'll have this ongoing relationship with people. That's, I think, the biggest difference between Kickstarter and Patreon, is that this affords you the opportunity to have an ongoing conversation with your audience, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's an element of that in Kickstarter because, it's a window, but you're right, it's a shorter window, and this is sort of at the very least a year and potentially indefinite. And I think the downside to both is it's a little confusing because you're like, is it a record or what is it? And I guess the way I see it is, yeah, it's a record, that is like the window into a deeper relationship and a multimedia exchange.
Right. Experience. Ultimately, that's what the goal is of any musician, right? Is to have an experience with their audience so that their audience is compelled to enjoy what you're doing, but you're also getting real-time feedback on what you're doing, and that's probably enjoyable on your end, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's in part of my Patreon propaganda, but there's this Kenny Rogers quote, which is, I wrote on it, "What would Kenny do?" And so he said, "I am music, everything else is what I do."
Right.
And I love that quote, but what, you know, why I've spent a lot of time, and I'm sure most musicians have, like, why do I do this? I was talking to Brian Rashap, who plays on the record, and we were talking about just, you know, it's a double-edged sword, right? It's like the highs are high, the lows are low. It's a tough racking. And he was like, "Oh yeah, being a musician, that's like waking up in the morning and saying, punch me in the face." He actually used a different word, but I was being radio appropriate.
Yeah.
But what keeps me going is that positive reinforcing loop. There's an ecosystem, you know, and there's like different concentric circles, right? You could say all jam bands are an ecosystem, all music is, right?
Right.
But for me, it's sort of this little tribe that's composed of, you know, strange folk and Assembly of Dust and the other stuff, things I've done. I don't really see them as distinct. They're, you know, they're parts, they're one and the same. And my hope is that the folks who came in through one door mingle with the others. And it, you know, I can't describe how profound it is. There's so many different ways that it's profound for me, but one simple way is when people take the time to say how much it means to them. And it's because, and I'm like doing it because it means a lot to me. And then the fact that it means a lot to you makes it mean even more to me. And it just
keeps going. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
And then, I don't know, I've been really diving into video, and three or four fans have taken it upon themselves, they're sort of studying what I'm doing, and made their own music videos for my songs. And that is profound. It's like right. Seeing your own voice through somebody else's eyes. It was so cool. And it's that kind of stuff that really makes me come back to it.
In all, there are, I believe, six tiers to this Patreon campaign. The first one is a man with another plan. by the way, I have to tell you, as somebody who has thought about doing a Patreon campaign myself, it's naming the different tiers that is so almost as ridiculous as thinking that people are
hey, man, I'll do it for you. That is my superpower. It's like writing a song lyric.
Right. So the tiers start off with the first tier is Man with Another Plan, and people are able to download one album a month, I assume, from your old catalog, and you become a patron of independent music and music videos, and that's $5 a month. I mean, that's what, a cup of coffee at Starbucks these days? I mean, it's nothing. And here you are getting good stuff back. You're getting entertainment and great value for your money. The second tier is all of that stuff.
Can I audit you on that? Because I want to be clear. You become a Viking warrior poet patron.
Viking.
That's important. And then the thought there was really, it's a digital tip jar. And with my Kickstarters, you'd be surprised. I mean, the amount of people who just make a donation for nothing. So right. I figured you might, if you're... It's like busking. If you're going to huck a couple bucks in a cup, you ought to get something back for it, right? A song. So it's like the digital equivalent of busking. Anyway, that's that one.
We're not going to go through all of them, but I think the next one that's interesting, obviously, is tier two, which is the Angels and Alibis tier, which gets you one of the new tracks from the record. and a new produced music video for that track each month. And that's $10 a month. And everything that was in the first tier. So you become a Viking, Viking, plus you become
Viking warrior poet, Ira.
Viking warrior poet plus patron. Yeah. Patron. And plus you become, you know, one of the first people to hear each track each month as you go through the year, which is really cool for people who are fans or who aren't fans. There was something here that I read that I think was a little bit hilarious. Well, not a little bit hilarious. For $35 a month, you get a whole bunch of stuff, including live streams and monthly Zoom concerts. That's part of the fifth tier. But you actually may get a chance to speak to Aunt Hildegard.
Yes. Well, I borrowed that idea from Amanda Palmer, who's the, you know, the queen of crowdsourcing. Yeah. And she has a tier where she sends you a personal postcard each month. And so in the name of like genuine experience and interpersonal connection, I thought that was brilliant. It's, you know, it's a modest effort on her part, but it's a meaningful one. And so that's really the heart of that. And then I have this ongoing joke because I have a song, it's like a C-list song called Hildegard, which, you know, a couple of the diehards really, you know, are attached to. And in a lot of my propaganda, I reference my great, great Aunt Hildegard, who doesn't actually exist, but she's a mythical figure in my mind. And she's the one who gave me the middle name Reinhold, which is something, you know, it's like I had to come out of the closet on that. I hid from that name forever. And now wow. I sign some of my, you know, my newsletters R. Reinhold Genauer. My joke is R. Reinhold Genauer, the fourth quad, which is one fatter than Trey.
Right. Right.
But yeah, the idea is that, it'll be a custom, you know, with a lyric pull, like a lyric quote. And then, something handwritten, like, you know, Dear Bob, how's your gout? Love, Reed.
No, love, R. Reinhold Genauer, the fourth.
Yes. The one that I would point out is the Zoom concert. So I sort of looked at that. The two tent poles for me are the album, obviously. Yeah. So which is album, so it's the track. It's a lyric video, which is actually really an important nuance because, you know, I'm a lyricist. And I think even if you're not, it's cool to watch a video and know what they're saying. So the idea is that it's got, you know, not MTV quality production value, but socially native, you know, production value with the lyric. So you can like, so there's a visual layer. It's almost like a digital liner note in a way.
Right.
For the song, and then it does come with actually a PDF of the lyrics and liner notes. So I'll give you some background to the song and make it experiential. So that's sort of one. And then the second one is these intimate Zoom concerts. And the way I framed all these tiers is I did a Zoom concert and then I asked 100 people who were on it, what do you want? And this is what they said. And I have others that I'm going to introduce, but that, you know, get increasingly more sophisticated. One of them is your song is my song. I'll write a song with you. One of it, I have a songwriting class. Hmm. I have one that's called Your Life is a Song, which I've done twice before successfully, where I interview somebody and then I write a song about their life. Wow. So I have a bunch of other like, more bespoke ones that will come later in the program.
The band on this record is so the story here is a little bit
is ridiculous.
It's a crazy band, but I thought initially Jason Crosby was involved in the project. Is he not in the Great Forever Band? Is he a side player in the Great Forever Band? How does that
work? I mean, Crosby's just, you know, he's one of my best friends, and the intent was actually to have him play on this more than he did, but he had scheduling issues when we did the basics. And so he plays on two tracks, and sounds fabulous. John Trafton, actually, from Strange Folk, plays on one. There's a co-write on there that he and I wrote together, and he sings harmony and plays lead guitar on that. It's pretty cool. It's called actually, I'm not sure. It's either Just Beyond the Pale or Beyond the Pale. And a fun factoid on that, it's the only song we've ever written in 25 years where I sent him the lyrics first and he wrote the music. Hmm. It was an experiment. I wrote it while watching my kid play basketball. Sent it to him, and 2 days later, he sent me back a song. So that one's kind of cool, personally.
So this band, let's talk about the rest of the band then, because it's a great band. Danny Eisenberg, who people should know from Ryan Adams and Jonathan Richman and the Mother Hips on keys. Some guy named Reed Jenauer.
Crossroads, I mean, he's part of the mafia up there.
Some guy named Reed Jenauer on acoustic guitars and vocals. Brian Rashap on bass, who's a bad MF-er for sure. Jim's last name, is it Bogius? Yeah, it is Bogius. On drums, and people may know him from Counting Crows and Sheryl Crow. But the producer of this record, and who also plays guitars and vocals, is Greg Loacano, who in his own right is just a master lyricist and player. How did you hook up with Greg? I guess you're in the Bay Area and you play music. Is that what it basically comes down to?
Yeah, I mean, I had known about the Hips forever. They were just in my consciousness. We had the same booking agent for many years. And so we wound up, you know, I met them in Baltimore. They opened for us in Baltimore.
Wow.
And so I've known them for, you know, decades. And then when I moved out here, I got a chance to know them. And I've really, to the extent that I've known them as a fan. I think, you know, I'm tempted to say top 5 bands of all time, but certainly top 100 bands of all time. Like, they are up there with the Who, in my estimation.
It's weird that I think you have to be a pretty big jam band connoisseur or really big music connoisseur to know who the Hips are, but the Mother Hips. But
I'm not even sure they're a jam band. They sound more like indie rock to me. But.
Yeah, but they don't get I don't know if they get the national recognition that they.
They don't, but in so California, deserve. They are heroes.
I mean,
and there, it's like, you know, it's like one of those guys walks into the backstage at Terrapin, and it's like it's a notch up.
Totally.
But yeah, so when I was thinking about it, one of the things I love about the Hips, there are many. The songwriting is impeccable. The production value is impeccable. The arrangements are impeccable. The mixes are impeccable. But the thing that I like, one of the things I like the most, I mean, the first is really just that whole package. There's a weight. Even though they don't, there's once in a while they play a little Mixolydian scale and sound a hint like they're Grateful Dead, but mainly, like I said, it sounds more like indie rock to me.
Yeah, I agree.
But it has that, like, what I call beautiful and badass weight to it. Like, especially seeing them live, like the Grateful Dead, it's like they're hardly playing, but it feels massive. And so that's one thing I love about them. Again, the songwriting is just, the lyrics alone are just ridiculous, both Greg and Tim.
Yeah.
And then they have Wilco-like twists and turns. They're not just blue notes and solos, which there is, but there's like blue sections where you're like, it surprises your ear. You think it should go, you know, here one way and it goes another. Yeah. They're like little musical delight, and so that was part of it. And what's funny, I know I'm on you can hit the zapper, hit the big red button when you want me to shut up.
No, it's great. It's your time, not mine.
I guess what I wanted to say was I set out, you know, I am a singer songwriter But I'm a rock and roll singer songwriter, and I think Greg helped me see that. It's not to say that I can't do something more along the lines of Neil Young or, you know, Neil Young, Willie Nelson. You know, we're really, it's very sparse and it's acoustic. Josh Rouse. But I am a rock and roller. And what's interesting, Greg was just so awesome on so many levels. First of all, I got to know him really well, and he's been like my pen pal through all this insanity, and that we talk every day. He got really invested in it. Like, he wasn't a hired gun. It's like, it feels, he's the pride that he has is, you know, that it's his record, and he should. And then he really crawled into the songs in ways that nobody else ever has. Like, there's one song called Scram Man. And it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of schizophrenic. And in fact, the song is about rage. So when you're super angry, you're one way. And then afterwards you feel this like void calm. And and the song reflects it. And he's like, man, I'm having a hard time thinking how this song's going to glue together. What's it about? And I explained it to him, and he came back 5 minutes later with the solution. But it was like, in understanding what the song was about, he found the musical mechanism like no one has ever done that. That's deep.
Yeah.
And then lastly, he delivered what I didn't even realize was my larger intent, which was to make an album that was sort of like the story was first. It has the intimacy of a singer songwriter record, but it's in a rock and roll context. And I, you know, it wasn't so much that I wanted to make a wooden record. It's that I wanted to have that intimacy and really have the song and the story sit in the front, and not, you know, not, I love smoking the guitar solos, but not have the story lost in that.
Right.
And so he actually interpreted my intent and delivered it in a different way. And that is the beauty of collaboration. I have chills right now because it's so cool, you know?
That's great. That's great. Well, he's so talented. Angels and Alibis has already been released. It is the first single. It starts off with lots of Hammond, and I assume that is our friend Jason Crosby.
That's Danny Flip-Flop.
Oh, it's Danny.
Yeah.
Wow. Excellent. It's tremendous. It is tremendous. I think people will really get a kick out of all of the songs. I'm as excited as the other fans to get to hear these songs once a month. We'll leave it there, but we will check in and see how this thing is going and how it's unraveling 6 months, 7 months in. And hopefully by then everybody will have heard lots of these tunes, and we can talk to you about the crowd's reaction, the patrons' reaction to all of this.
If you can reach me on my chartreuse yacht between cigars, for sure, I'd be happy to discuss it. You know, I just wanted to shine the light back on you, and I'm a fan, and it takes apostles, right? And it's hard to find the signal through the noise and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, thanks for being a beacon for us lowly lost musicians.
Well, we won't get into the backstory again because we don't want any nasty notes. Well, but no. you're part of the inspiration, Reed. You have to know that bands like Strange Folk and Assembly of Dust and early Blues Traveler and early Spin Doctors and Joan Osborne and the Grateful Dead and the Allman Brothers Band. Huh?
Alan Wolf. As long as we're going that far back.
But I'm saying you are the reason I do what I do. And so my I'm at your service because you've helped shape my concept of music, my concept of storytelling through music. And so any bit that I can do to drive that forward and bring a bigger audience to the beacon that you shine, that's what I'm all about. So as you like to say, let's turn it around again.
Mirror in a mirror, right? Yeah, because totally. That's like another, it's a fractal of what I was talking about with the audience.
So exactly.
Right back at you, brother. Good on you.
Thanks, dude. Thanks for taking the time again, and good luck with this. And we'll talk real soon.
Sweet shirt, by the way. I don't know if it's a podcast or a vlog, but he's wearing a shirt that says #jamband. Love it.
It's always great chatting with Reed. Based on what I've heard of Angels and Alibis, the album and this project are awesome. For more on Angels and Alibis or to become a patron, you can visit ReedGenHour.com. Before we leave you, how about a taste of what some of those live Zoom concerts might sound like? Let's head to Terrapin Crossroads in San Rafael, California for a live performance from ReedGenHour and Folks, March 7th, 2020, and this cover of the Grateful Dead classic, Brown Eyed Women.
Daddy made whiskey.
Like your pain getting home. Gone are the days when the ox fall down. Take up the yoke and plow the fields around. Gone are the days when the ladies set free. Gentle Jack Jones won't you come to me. Looks like the old man is getting on. It looks like the old man is getting on.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.